Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Smart to Death podcast. I'm Kyle.
This is Anthony.
And we are here with ROH superstar, the notorious Shane Taylor. Shane, how's it going?
What's going on, boys? Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us, man. We're really excited about it. You're our first interview, so thank you
so
much.
Yeah, so we're going to be a little bit nervous on this one. You're popping our cherry.
Okay. We will try not to start off on the wrong foot. I mean, even though I was late, so I guess that's on me.
It's all good.
Yeah, no worries. So let's start off with just kind of an easy question here. You're part of Ring of Honor. And that's like both of us are really enjoying Ring of Honor right now. It's really, really big time for Ring of Honor with Honor Club being launched. A lot of cool stuff. Right. You know, you got Supercard of Honor coming up. What's it like working in Ring of Honor with a lot of the up and coming talent there and how things are changing right now?
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I want to give you an answer without sounding like a cliche. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's every bit. You know, it lives up to all the hype and it lives up to the billing that you hope when you're trying to get there. You know, when you look at the history of ROH and the guys that have helped build that company and establish that reputation, not only, you know, are you a part of that legacy, but you're a part of what they're doing now. You're a part of the expansion. You're a part of the growth. You're a part of the, you know, sort of like domestic boom and international boom that has come along with them, you know, the last few years. So to be able to be a part of that and work with the best wrestlers on the planet, you know, that is, that's something that you dream about doing. That's something that you set as a goal. And I'm just happy to be a part of that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to talk to you about this match that you had pretty recently at Wrestle Circus with JT Dunn.
Oh yeah.
All right, first question. I mean, phenomenal match. Dude, that was a great match. I got to ask you, though, how did you not break your neck on that tombstone?
I wasn't sure that I didn't until I was able to move, so that was good. But, yeah, that sucked.
I watched it on Twitch, and I was like, I immediately just, like, rose up from my chair because I was fairly certain. I was like, oh no. Like I just saw all your weight just crash on top.
Those are the risks that we take for you guys. Yeah. Love y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, no.
speaking of crazy spots, right now you're doing, is it Hired Hitman? Is that what you're doing
He's
in Ring of Honor?
Gun.
Hired Gun. That's what it is.
I mean, that's what some people like to call it. You know, other people call it mercenary. Like people want to put their own spin on what they think it is, but for me, what I've always called it and what I personally like to think of it as is I'm the capo regime of Ring of Honor. You have guys, and if you know what that job title entails, mm-hmm. and you look at what I do and, you know, diving into the history of things that I've done in my life growing up, you would see why that fits perfectly.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, I want to know, you came in at Ring of Honor 16th anniversary show, which I bet that was awesome to be a part of, but you killed Hangman Page on that ramp with that power bomb. You came in between their 6-man tag match, and my buddies, we were watching that show, and I really thought you killed him. Like, that spot was awesome.
That's what happens when you know. Like, this is all, you know, this is nothing against the Bullet Club. You know, I get paid right now by SoCal Uncensored to take care of business. So that's what I'm going to do. If Paige is in the way of that, then he gets what he got. If Bullet Club is in the way of that, they get what they get, or anybody else for that matter. And if the checks stop coming or the money's no longer good, then, you know, I'll have to take that up with SoCal Uncensored. But as of right now, they're writing the biggest checks and they're all clearing, so we're good.
And Bullet Club is kind of always in the way, aren't they?
I mean, they're the guys right now. They can't help but be in the way.
Yeah, that's
true. Know, the kind of person that I am, I play second to nobody. I sit on nobody's bench. I'm not JV anything. So if I want a spot and I want to get to a goal or get to a place and you happen to be the guy there, sorry about your luck.
Speaking of that, like you said, like you're not JV to anything. And I'm right. assuming this, like your whole life, you've gone through like a lot of stuff. Like I read that you had been to nearly 100 funerals by the time you were 15.
Yeah.
What made you not go down that path, and what made you go into wrestling instead?
I mean, like that wasn't necessarily a path that I chose. It was kind of one that was just there, you know, growing up in Cleveland when I was there, was a time in the city where they sort of just let it go to hell. Like, I guess there's a thought process of if you want something to stop being bad, just let them all kill themselves and it'll be fine. But that it never works that way. It's not how this stuff goes. Mm-hmm. So I lived in Cleveland in a time where they didn't care about fixing it, you know? And it was a crazy time. You know, I always tell the story of, you know, my dad fighting off drug dealers on our corner, and then they would come back and subsequently shoot up our house. You know what I mean? So we couldn't even sit on the couches when we were kids. You know what I mean? We had to sit on the floor. So there was no stray bullets or anything like that. And when it wasn't until I left Cleveland that I realized, oh, everybody doesn't live like this. Like, so like it became like, you know, I drastically saw the difference. But honestly, wrestling was always an escape for my family and myself. We would get together and get, you know, the 3 or 4 pay-per-views that came on back in the day, and we would just have it at somebody else's house because we were all broke, so we could only really afford one for each group, you know? So that's what we would do. We would just get one, and then everybody would come over, you know? And it would just be a big family thing. So I immediately saw that. You know, and guys like Ron Simmons and you know, Ahmed Johnson and guys that I saw that were just dudes that were just beating ass. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's something that I wanted to do. And it was an inspiration of what not to go back to. Yeah. And that's the same inspiration that I keep now, because I know what's waiting for me if this doesn't work. So there is no plan B for me, because I feel like people that say have a plan B aren't successful people. Like, they're always the people that wanted to be something and then settled on something else. So anybody that's successful has plan A, and they stick with plan A. They're not worried about plan B because they're too focused on plan A, you know? So my plan A is to be the best in the world at this profession, at this job, at this sport. And I know what waits for me if I fail at that. So there's no bigger motivator than my daughter, my wife, and fear of going back to that.
Yeah.
So you said that you've always watched wrestling most of your entire life. So who was your guy growing up? Who was your person?
I had a top three. Was Undertaker, Vader, and Stan Hansen. Those were the three guys that for me, because I've always been a big kid. Never gonna have a six pack in my life, none of that. So I saw guys and immediately related to guys that were just big athletes that were just punching people in the face.
Yeah.
That would just stand there, just knock you out and say, get up and do something about it. Like that, those were my guys, you know. So that's sort of the pattern that I established my style around.
Yeah, for sure. So April's a big month for wrestling. What do you have? What do you have planned for this month? Are you involved in anything with WrestleCon, or, you know, New Orleans is a massive weekend this weekend?
Oh, it's crazy. I have Wildcat Sports on the 5th. On that Thursday, it's myself and Ryan Davidson against Buku Dao and Sexy Chino. We're gonna beat the hell out of them. And the 6th, I will be attending the Crash Lucha Libre show or the Rev Pro show.
Okay, cool.
Whichever one, I won't be wrestling, but I'll be there. And the 7th, of course, is Supercard of Honor, the Festival of Honor. We're going to have the meet and greets and stuff all day. All kind of media, all kind of fan access stuff. So it's going to be a crazy, crazy weekend.
Awesome. Now, I've read that you have lost. I mean, you've lost damn near like 100 pounds in 1 year. Like,
yeah.
I want to know, because I don't know if you see our host right now, but yeah. He's pretty heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely. Needs some diet
tips. I could drop some weight for sure.
So what are you doing? Like, what's your diet regimen? What's your workout? Like, what are you doing to do all this?
It's honestly just a combination of just not eating like an asshole. Sorry to cuss, but
no, like, it's cool. I eat like an asshole, so that helps. Thank you.
You know the stuff that you eat that you could probably not eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm staring at a Whataburger cup right now. So
and it's late at night. You're like, I don't really need this sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? But you eat it because you're bored and you're up late. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that, man. And like, I honestly don't kill myself in the gym. I do about 10 to 15 minutes of cardio before I lift. And then just a lot of high rep, you know, low rest workouts, nothing super heavy or anything like that. And I also use a supplement, and this is the only supplement I will ever endorse because it works. It is called Red Rocket. It's from Red Rocket Sports Science, and it's called Blaze. Uh-huh. And it's a thermogenic, and it's absolutely insane. So the combination of all of that is what has helped me to be able to drop the weight and keep the weight off.
Awesome. Well, congrats on that, dude, because that's tough work.
Yeah,
man.
That's a bunch. So you were trained by Raymond Rowe, one half of War Machine. How did you get involved with him?
I've known Ray since high school because he was a senior when I was a sophomore.
Oh, y'all went to the same school.
Yeah, and he went to St. Ignatius. I went to Normandy, and we actually had a meet where our schools met up, and I wrestled him, and he won because I was sick, but it is what it is. So he won that, and I had always just sort of heard about him. Throughout the city. I mean, because Cleveland is as big of a city as it is, you know who is who. Mm-hmm. And people stay in the grapevine, so to speak. So I'd always heard about him and heard he was doing wrestling, and it was something that I was trying to get into. So when I was living in Pittsburgh, ran across Ray Rowe and a guy by the name of J-Rock at the International Wrestling Cartel shows there. Out in McKeesport, in Elizabeth, and got in touch with them. And once they saw my attitude and my drive, they decided to help me out.
Cool. So, well, speaking of Raymond Rowe, he just got signed to NXT.
Yeah.
He made his name in ROH, just like you're making. Mm-hmm. Is NXT something that you want to go to, or do you have something else in mind that you want to do first? Or what? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your goals?
It's a good question. You know, see, the funny thing about goals is depending on opportunity, they change. But I'm very proud of the things that Ray did in ROH. I'm extremely proud of the things that he was able to accomplish in New Japan. I know that was a big thing for him. That was his like bucket list wrestling dream type stuff that he was able to do there. And now he's down in NXT, you know, when just a couple years ago, he didn't know if he was going to wrestle again. So, you know, that's a testament to his hard work and his drive and ability. And for myself, my goals right now, I mean, I can never say that it wouldn't be a dream of mine to be on that stage. Mm-hmm. Facing him or any other number of guys that I know that are there. But there's a lot of work to do in Ring of Honor. There's a lot of work to do there. Right now, I have dreams and goals and championships to win there, mm-hmm. As well as my other goal of wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I feel like that environment is tailor-made, no pun intended, for a guy like me. You can pretty much do whatever you want, and there's really no sort of chains on you. And in that environment, I feel like my attitude would be something that would quickly propel me to success there, as well as my style and my and my way of doing things. So there's a lot of goals right now, and of course, maybe one day being on that stage could be one, but we'll see what happens later down the line.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching a bunch of your matches recently, and dude, your knees are second to none. Like, it's you and Kenny Omega have like the stiffest knee strikes, and it's and that punch, that right hand punch that you throw out, dude, it's good.
And I'm glad you mentioned New Japan, because I've had some discussions with that, like amongst us and some other friends. New Japan's so unique right now to anything else, and so it's got to be really cool to work in Ring of Honor, where you do always have that option that they may want you to go work over in Japan or work when they're here in like Long Beach, like where they were last weekend. So it's really cool. Like, I completely understand why you'd want to, you know, win some championships in Ring of Honor and work in New Japan, because it's just so unique to what WWE is doing right now. So it's got to be really, really cool. Wrestling's at an all-time high right now.
Is there anybody in New Japan that you would want to work with that you haven't yet?
From New Japan,
yeah,
or from
either anywhere in the world.
Actually, really. Let's just go anywhere, man. Like, who do you want to work with? Like, who are like some of your dream people that you would like to work with right now?
Three people. Okay, now there's different reasons, because there's some people that I just want to fight. You know what I mean? I just feel like that would be, you know what I mean? Like, that's just me though. But there are a lot of guys. If I had to pick three, for different reasons, one would be Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
One on one. I was in the six man with Killer Elite Squad, Suzuki, myself, Jay Lethal, and Kenny King. And the interactions that we had there really made me excited about the possibility of a one on one match with him. To see, he's the kind of guy, man, that he's going to bring something out of you. Either he brings out your best, or he brings out the bitch in you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, something's going to give.
Well, they call him the murder grandpa on Twitter for a reason. So,
I mean, he's the man. He's the king. Yeah. But for me, I guys like that bring the best out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, like when I wrestled Jay Briscoe in Collinsville, like that sort of intensity brings out the best in Shane Taylor. So, Suzuki would be one. Jay Lethal would be the next one, because right now in ROH, I feel like he is the measuring stick of what a talent and a professional is supposed to be. So
definitely,
when you step in the ring with him, you're stepping in the ring with the best, and that's your chance to show the world exactly who you are. And if we had to go a third, let's see, I think my third would probably be Will Ospreay.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting
stylistically
match.
I feel like there's a lot of things that we could do in that ring that would be exciting. Obviously, he brings his style. I bring mine. And I feel like that's a match that will steal the show on any card.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that match would that's an interesting match. Just the two different styles. Yeah. Like,
well, hopefully
I could be down for that.
Hopefully Ospreay has a neck now though. Like, I don't know if both of y'all saw that from the Sakura Genesis.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it.
I saw it live.
If we wrestle, I can't say that I wouldn't go after it. I mean, why would you not?
Yeah, like, for sure.
You know?
I wanted to ask you, like, what are your pre-match rituals? Do you have any? Do you have like certain songs that you do listen to, or what do you do to like get yourself psyched to go
or like
into
a
that
meal
ground
or
form?
This is funny because only a few people really know about this. I'm the kind of person in my head. I'm completely mental. I need contact to get going. Like I need to be hit. I need to be amped up to bring out whatever it is, because for so long I've tried to bury that to function normally in society, you know? So, While I get like the last 10 minutes or so, 15 before I wrestle, I only listen to DMX, because it puts me in a space mentally, to just go out and do what I have to do. And also right before I go out, either chops or just huge forearms, I get like several as hard as they possibly can to hit me, to get me in that mind frame of getting ready to go into a fight, to get that physicality in my head. And then once I get that, and once I get ready, I hit at the curtain, and whoever's in the ring is absolutely screwed.
I think we have just one more question for you. And what I want to ask you, one of our good friends has talked about for months now how he wants to go. We're here in Central Texas. He wants to go down 30 miles and try his hand at getting involved in the business. So what I want to know is what kind of advice would you give to someone that is looking to become a wrestler, and what can they do to prepare themselves for? We know, I've always heard taking one bump, that first bump is really rough, but how can you prepare yourself for what you go through?
The physical stuff is nowhere near the emotional and mental stuff that you're going to go through while you're in this sport. So people can handle the physicality. My advice would be to carefully assess why you want to go into it, what your goals are, and what you're trying to get out of it. Because a lot like sales, you're going to hear no a lot. Yeah. And you're going to hear you're not good enough a lot. And you're going to hear you're shitty a lot. And you're going to hear, you know, we just don't think you have it a lot, or you're just not a star a lot. Like you're going to be, you know, drugged through the mud a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the mental and emotional capability of handling that and still bringing the best out of you every single night, this probably isn't the thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that I would advise them on, is being fully prepared for that, not taking things personal, and learning how to cope with rejection, cope with failure, and still being on your A game at all times. It's a very, very hard thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. Shane, thanks a lot for joining us. Let our listeners know what you got going on this week, month of April. What all do you have going on?
Man. So many things, but I would be crazy if I just look past this weekend and getting through this first. So, April 5th, Wildcat Sports, New Orleans, Louisiana, WrestleCon, check that out. As I said, myself and Ryan Davidson against Buku Dao, and Sag Tuchino, and obviously on the 7th, Super Card of Honor.
Yep.
For Ring of Honor, come check that out. It's probably already sold out. If it's not, there's very few tickets left, I imagine. So you don't want to be left out of that. Mm-hmm. Twitter and Instagram at Shane216, TaylorProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneTaylor. If you're so inclined to buy some merchandise, it'd be greatly appreciated. And again, just thank everybody. Thank you guys for having me on. And thank everybody out there for an incredible 10-year career so far. I look forward to the next 10.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing what you do. Thank you so much for joining us,
man.
This is a lot of fun.
And good luck with everything in the future, man.
Thank you, boss.
All right.
Take it easy.
See you later, Shane.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, that was Shane Taylor.
Yeah, that interview, like listening back, man, it was our first one. I thought we did okay.
I thought we did too. I just remember doing this interview and the immediate high that we had.
Yeah, we like drank all of the drinks and smoked all of the cigarettes afterwards. but guys, if you don't know Shane Taylor already, and if you enjoyed this interview, and I'm sure you did, because Shane Taylor is just fantastic. He's made some interview rounds with our friend Wilfred from the Wilfred Watches podcast, but he's got a great story. He, you know, came from really an environment that shouldn't have become a successful Ring of Honor wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to like hear these stories of people that face so much adversity and still succeed. It kind of makes you feel bad when you get a little down.
Yeah. I just remember like right after doing this podcast with him, he immediately got to face like Cody Rhodes, and he immediately got to face like some bigger names in ROH.
Right, and he's faced Jeff Cobb recently now too. And I really hope that in the future, and that in 2019, you know, The nice thing is if the elite guys leave, that leaves room for guys like Shane Taylor, who is just incredibly talented in the ring. He's one of the most agile big men I've seen. I've gotten to see him wrestle live in Dallas since that interview, and it's just nuts, man.
Some of the best knees I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got a great character, got a great gimmick, and Ring of Honor is a great place for him. So, yeah, we hope that this interview was a good placeholder for us not having an episode this week. And sorry it's a repost, but we weren't as smart with interviews originally.
No, we weren't.
Like, this is definitely the much better way to do it, is to give interviews in an episode with an intro and outro, like a real episode, because that's what these things are.
Yeah.
So we got to give shout-outs to the patrons that heard this interview early and heard it without any of the episodes, because what we did originally, if you guys don't know, is we used to put them in the middle of an episode. So, like, our hour-long episodes would have been an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
That's a little overkill. A
little bit.
So our patrons, Brandon McKinney, Natalie Evans, Papa Suter, Robert Jackson, Shane Richardson, Dan White, 720 Wrestling, Warren Hayes, Zach Humphrey, Kevin Cito, Two Girls on a Bench, Ben Seidel, David Edge, Kelly Parker, Cameron Curry, Richard Sandoval, and Jonathan Pilquist.
JPQ.
You got two little chants in there now.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to hear interviews like this, you want to go back to the archives and hear all of these interviews whenever you want without searching through a podcast player, go to patreon.com/smarttodeath and sign up for just as low as a dollar.
Yeah.
And you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/smarttodeath, get you a shirt, or go to digitaltipjar.com/smarttodeath and also get you some tips in for us.
Yeah. This weekend, prowrestlingtees.com/smarttodeath, big Black Friday sale. So make sure if you don't have any of the Smart to Death merch, this is the time to get it.
Right. And if you drink too much with your family, make a wise drunk decision and purchase a shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/smarttodeath. 20% off. Get you some cool shit. There's a bunch of stuff they're giving away if you spend a lot of money with them. And Pro Wrestling Tees is one of my favorite companies in the U.S. right now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, let's get on out of here.
Softies. All right, guys. Well, we will be back next week with a fresh new episode. So for Anthony, I'm Kyle. We'll see you then.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Critics call Instant Family instantly gratifying.
There you go.
It's smart and incredibly funny. It's the feel-great film we need right now. Mark Wahlberg, Rose Byrne.
Hey, you excited?
Instant Family, now playing. Rated PG-13.
Have you heard? Metro by T-Mobile now includes Amazon Prime. Yes, enjoy the best of shopping and entertainment, movies, TV shows, music, free shipping, and much more. All included for just $40 per line for 3 lines. All on the T-Mobile network. Discover the smarter way. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. One offer per account. Offer subject to change. $12.99 per month value. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video at 480p. Capable device required. See store for details and terms and conditions.